Welcome. I hope you're having a festive day. You are listening to Provisions and Libations, and I am your host, Robin Bogue, on the Mission Matter Podcast Network. Today's topic is Easter brunch and hard-boiled eggs. What is Easter? Easter is the remembrance of honoring the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Where does the word Easter come from? The word is kind of a hybrid of the English word Easter, which parallels with the German word Ostern, and combined, they create a new word, which is E-O-S-T-R-E, Oyster, in which became the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring and fertility. So that's where the origin comes from the word. Easter traditions vary for most. Everybody has their own unique way of celebrating it. But some of the most common ways that we do celebrate is with a sunrise service, a late night vigil. Women will don their best Easter bonnet. And then comes the decoration and the communal breaking of Easter eggs. That represents a symbol of the empty tomb. Eggs represent new life and rebirth. And it's said in the medieval period, eating eggs was forbidden during Lent. And Lent is the 40 days before Easter. And that's known as a time of repentance to show your dedication to God to resist temptation. So that's where how eggs became a part of our Easter celebration. Now, you might be wondering, why is a bunny associated with Easter? Well, bunny is, from the pagan traditions, the bunny rabbit is the symbol of fertility. And so that's where that had come through. So with everything, when we gather for a festive day, it's always surrounded by friends, family, and a good meal. And so I went to my trusted source of Food and Wine magazine and looked up their 25 top Easter recipes. And I do have that link on my website at eatdrinkandbemerry.online if you wanted to visit any of the recipes, so that way you could use them for your family meal on Easter Sunday. First of all, I'm going to list 10. I'm not going to go through all 25 because that's too much. But the top one is grilled rack of lamb. And we all know what that is. It's beautiful. It's bursting with juiciness. And it has that savory flavor that we all know comes from a rack of lamb. Next is a pork loin roast with a white wine Dijon sauce, which sounds amazing. And then we go into the ham with a Madeira glaze. We don't forget the dessert, a lemon chiffon cake. And then back to the sides for potatoes au gratin, sweet potato rolls. And then for an appetizer, you can make a caviar-topped deviled egg. Everybody makes deviled eggs that they've been around for a long time. Few people will, you know, splash a little paprika on the top for a little extra zesty flavor. But this you can, instead of, or in addition, add a little bump of caviar and maybe a sliced green olive with a pimento. Makes it for a very festive, very colorful decoration. There's baked asparagus. There's a shepherd's pie, which if my kids are listening, they're cringing. I thought they loved shepherd's pie as kids, only to find out that they did not. I loved it because of all of the layers, and then it tasted better every day as it marinated in the refrigerator. And then last, we'll end with a leg of lamb with a spicy mint rum sauce. I can just taste that mint rum sauce in my mouth right now, just thinking about it. So what will we make? I will be with my children in Texas, and it is their first big family get together. And so in their house, and I don't know, I think we're doing steak, but I will do whatever they ask me to do. It's going to be very fun and interesting to see how my children are starting their new traditions. So let's get back to those eggs. I researched the number one guru on decorating Easter eggs. That, of course, would be Martha Stewart. There's no one else that I would want to go to learn a little bit about something that evolves anything around the house or any type of holiday tradition or any type of holiday festivity or decoration. On her website, she, and I have, we'll have the link on my website as well. She had 25 different ways that you could decorate eggs, and some were not chicken eggs. They were paper eggs or paper mache eggs. So that's going a little over out of the realm of what I was wanting to talk about. But for the Easter eggs that you would actually eat, there's many, many ways that you can decorate. When we were kids, we loved getting the all of the cups out, filling it up with vinegar, and then dropping in those little tablets that you always wanted to eat, but your mom was like, "No, you can't eat it." And then it changed the color of the vinegar in, you know, the reds, purples, green, oranges, and yellows, and so that way we had a rainbow of colors. You know, we always had the solid ones, but then as I got older and being a graphic designer, and everyone in my family is super uber creative, you know, we started, you know, family competition kicks in a little bit. I remember making a plaid Easter egg out of dipping it in and holding it. Yeah, it took a long time. I think it took like 5 minutes to just do one egg, but I used my little holder, you know, you can all picture the little holder that has the octagonal square, rounded square with the little metal handle, put my egg in there, and I dipped it into green and I held it there for like a minute. And then I turned my egg on my holder and then I dip it in red for another minute, and then I turn it, and then I dip it in blue, and then I turn it and go to orange, and turn it and go to purple, until I had this really neat plaid decorated Easter egg. I loved it. I did that for years. I would love to do it again. Maybe this year, once I arrive at my kids' house, I'll go and I'll get some Paws decorating kits, and we can do that the night before. I think that would be fun. They're all older. Until there's like grandbabies and younger kids, that may not happen this year. But one of the interesting things about being on Martha Stewart's website, she was talking about the use of natural dyes. And I've wanted to do this before. I've seen it on Pinterest. And it has, if you actually look it up on Pinterest, it gives you like 25 different kitchen items that you can use that will actually naturally dye your eggs. Like red cabbage will give you the red color, and it's not really red. It's more of a mulberry purple color. And then there's onion skins, coffee grinds. It just goes on and on and on. That would be if you didn't want to use any like harsh chemicals, or if there was anything that if your child isn't able to eat certain items because of them having an allergy, you could go with the natural dyes. That, or you could actually just color stamp and dot them, or you could actually put stickers and ribbons and polka dots rather than doing any type, or markers rather than doing any type of dyeing. You could actually just color and decorate them. One of Martha's last ones, which I loved, she actually had spray painted them. And it didn't say whether the spray paint was edible, but it's on the outside, so it should be fine because you crack it and peel it off and then eat the egg and it doesn't get on the inside. But she had sprayed them and then sprayed the other part of them gold. And so they just were super elegant and refined and beautiful. One of the other things that you can do for the natural dyeing of eggs, like the traditional when we were kids, with the Paws tablets, would be allow your child to use a crayon. And that would be when they were still warm and out of the pot from boiling them. Let them use a crayon, color it, and then let them sit and cool. And then when you put them into the dye, you get a veiny effect on your colored Easter egg. That's one idea. The other thing that you can do is in your color cup, you could drop a little bit of olive oil. And then when the egg is being dyed in the cup, the olive oil creates these spots and mottled effect. So the gnat wing, it's not going to be a solid red or solid blue, solid green. You could use edible dust and rub it over on it so that it gives it a little bit of a shimmer. And then you could also use shaving cream for a marbling effect. That shaving cream will, it kind of coats it. It kind of makes it slimy. You might have to rinse those off after you do them, after you make them and create them. And so I would go lighter on it because I feel like if you went too heavy, it wouldn't stick as much. So go lighter with the shaving cream. But as our world turns, there are so many things that people come up with to be creative. I say at the end of the day, enjoy what you're doing, enjoy your family, be sure to laugh, even if, and this is hard for some of the new moms, I remember, we used to always try to dye them outside, dye the eggs outside, so that way, in case there was an accident, the mess was outside and not in the kitchen or in the dining room or wherever. Don't cry over spilled milk, just enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. They're going to be grown up way too fast. And then you won't get to do it as often unless you're with a grandkid. So enjoy your Easter and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please follow Provisions and Libations wherever you listen to podcasts. I will be back next week with an all-new episode. I'm your host, Robin Bogue. You can learn about me on my website, eatdrinkandbemerry.online, or my LinkedIn profile, Robin Bogue. I look forward to entertaining you, informing you, and enlightening you with the perfect accommodations for connoisseurs of provisions and libations with an epicurean flair. But first, let's eat and drink.